am Ladi Akinboro, and I'll be presenting on changes in perceptions and knowledge of health and healthcare disparities among public health workers in Texas after a health equity training. The objective of this is just to evaluate the effectiveness of a health equity training workshop in changing perceptions as well as increasing the knowledge of public health workers in a statewide community transformation grant regarding health and healthcare disparities. So the underlying principle for the workshop is pivoted on the recommendation of the Institute of Medicine that addressing health and healthcare disparities will to a large extent depend on how aware health and healthcare workers are of health disparities, because studies have shown that, you know, in as much as one you think that healthcare workers should be aware of disparities in health, oftentimes they are not very aware that these disparities exist. So the background to this study is that it was conducted under the auspices of Transforming Texas, which is a 5-year community transformation grant that was awarded to the Texas Department of State Health Services. The Texas Department of State Health Services subcontracted it out to 18 organizations working in 30 different counties in different parts of Texas, potentially reaching 3.6 million Texans. And the organizations include their academic institutions, health departments, as well as non-profit organizations. Community transformation grants, they were awarded in 2011 and 2012 to state and local government agencies, non-profits, and community-based organizations to design, implement, and evaluate system-level programs that would help in addressing chronic diseases such as cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, and cancer. Now, to the training itself, the participants in the training were staff of all 18 organizations that were sub-awarded the Transforming Texas grant in Texas. And the workshops were conducted by an interdepartmental state agency in Texas called the Texas Center for Equality, Disparities, and Disproportionality. It organized 10 different sessions over a 10-week period in 2012. And all the sessions were all identical. They were identical in content, in delivery, and each lasted four sessions, such that each participant attended only one session. The Center for Elimination of Disproportionality and Disparities is an intergovernmental state agency which works across the health as well as child welfare systems in Texas to help ensure equality and to eliminate disparities in their programs. So the workshops essentially focused on they helped participants in identifying determinants of health of health and equity across systems, such as socioeconomic status, and in particular, the workshop focused on institutional racism and how institutional racism reinforces disparities in healthcare systems in the country. Then it also focused on disparities in selected health behaviors and outcomes, such as disparities in smoking, in smoking, prevalence of smoking, in cardiovascular morbidity, as well as disparities in obesity as well as cancer. And it also introduced the participants to approaches in addressing disparities in their local communities. And in doing this, it focused on helping them to identify the disparities in their communities, as well as designing programs and policies that will help to that will be specifically tailored to addressing these disparities in their local communities. And in particular, it also focused on the process on teaching the participants on community engagement, helping the communities essentially to be involved in addressing this community, to be involved in addressing these disparities that plague their communities. Now, we administered a pre and post survey to address changes in perceptions and knowledge of the public health workers regarding disparities in health and healthcare. The survey was designed by the Center for Community Health at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, and items were drawn and adapted from other instruments that have been used in assessing health knowledge of health and healthcare disparities. The surveys were administered by the staff of the Center for Equality, Disproportionality and Disparities, and they were mailed to our center at the University of North Texas. Frequencies and percentages were computed to assess the characteristics of study participants, and we, in assessing the pre-post changes, we used Babka's test of marginal homogeneity because the data was correlated. So the findings from the study, essentially we had 109 participants, 106 of whom completed the pre-training survey, and 90% completed both pre- and post-training surveys. 81% of the participants were male, and about 45% white, and 1/3 were Hispanics. Most of our study participants had at least a college degree, and as much as about 40% of them had advanced degrees. Most of our participants came from either health departments or from nonprofits, while we are just a minority from academic institutions. Now, to the questions that specifically addressed their knowledge, their perception of health disparities, we asked if they think, the question, do you think the color of one's skin determines the quality of health care they receive? Before the study, 46% of participants thought that skin color was a determinant of health care quality. But after the study, 73% thought that skin color was a determinant of healthcare quality. Now, all results were significant at the 0.01 level. Again, in addressing their perceptions of disparities in health and healthcare, we also asked if participants thought that the healthcare system treated people unfairly based on race and ethnicity, based on how much money they have, as well as based on whether or not people have health insurance. And we noticed that, you know, when we asked whether the healthcare system treated people unfairly based on whether they had money or health insurance, at baseline, almost all the participants thought that this was true. However, just somewhere between half and 1/3 of participants thought that the healthcare system treated people unfairly based on race and ethnicity. However, after the training, this proportion increased significantly to about 89% of the participants. So this is restated. Then we also asked the question, in your opinion, please check the most important reason why there is a difference in how likely a baby is to die before our first birthday among different racial ethnic groups in the U.S. And all the response categories are collapsed into these four categories. Before the training, just about 6% of participants thought that prejudice and discrimination was a factor, you know, that was a contributing factor to disparities in infant mortality. But after the training, this proportion increased to 28%. Then we also asked a similar question. Now, asking the participants to identify what reasons that they thought were responsible for disparities in life expectancy among different groups in the U.S. And before the training, again, similar to the pattern that we observed regarding that perceptions for reasons for disparities in infant mortality, about 7% of participants at baseline thought that prejudice and discrimination was a contributor to disparities in life expectancy. However, after the training, this proportion rose significantly to 29%. Another interesting finding was that prior to the workshops, as much as one third of the participants actually blamed the disparities in life expectancy on personal behavior of the participants. But after the training, this decreased to about 15%. So in assessing the knowledge of the participants regarding health disparities, we asked them which race or ethnic background they thought were most likely to be diagnosed with the following diseases: cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, as well as AIDS. And before the training, 71% of participants thought whites were the most likely to be diagnosed with cancer, while just 21% thought blacks were the most correctly thought that, you know, indicated along with, they correctly thought that 21% correctly thought that blacks were the race that were most likely to be diagnosed with cancer, which is actually what is consistent with current, you know, with what we know in literature. But after the training, the 54% of participants now correctly identify blacks and African Americans has been the race most likely to be diagnosed with cancer. Again, regarding cardiovascular disease, before the training, well, somewhere less than half of the participants, about 47% of them, thought blacks and African Americans were the most likely to be diagnosed with cardiovascular disease. And this proportion rose significantly after the training to about 69% of the participants. Then regarding the race likely to be diagnosed with diabetes, about 36% thought blacks or African Americans were the most likely to be diagnosed, and this percentage changed, and about 62% thought that blacks were the most likely to be diagnosed with diabetes after the training. We also asked regarding high blood pressure, and I think even prior to the training, most participants correctly identified that blacks were the most likely to be diagnosed with high blood pressure, and as well as with AIDS. So we didn't really see significant changes in the knowledge pattern regarding high blood pressure and HIV/AIDS. So what did we find out from our pre-post survey? We found out that less than half of participants thought skin color affected the quality of care. That was before the training. Again, before the training, most participants thought that having health insurance as well as having money were really the basis for fairness or unfairness in treatment by the healthcare system. And just a little above half of them thought that race, ethnicity was a factor for fairness, that affected fairness in treatment by the healthcare system. Again, before the training, personal behavior was the singular factor that was most commonly cited as being responsible for disparities in life expectancy among different groups in the U.S. While when we looked at, you know, knowledge, the pre-training knowledge of the participants regarding diseases like cancer and cardiovascular disease, less than half of participants essentially knew which racial groups were most likely to be diagnosed with these diseases. After the training, however, there was a significant change in perceptions of the participants, with more than half of them indicating that skin color was a determinant of healthcare quality. Again, after the training, we found out that most participants now thought that race actually plays a role in how fair the healthcare system treats people. Again, after the training, we found out that most participants there was a significant increase in the number of participants who thought prejudice and discrimination was a factor that contributes to disparities in life expectancy in the U.S., while there was a significant increase in the number of respondents who knew the racial groups that actually have the highest incidence as well as prevalence of chronic diseases of public health concern. So the limitations to our study essentially include the fact that not all respondents who filled out the pre-training survey completed the post-training survey, which might suggest a selection bias. However, We still had over 90% of the participants completed the post-training survey, so we don't think that the bias will affect our results significantly. Again, the post-training survey only assesses immediate changes in perceptions, knowledge, and attitudes about race and about disparities in based on race and ethnicity in health. So this does not, that's to say that our survey does not, it does not in any way tell us how sustained these changes in perceptions and knowledge are. And again, we did not measure these perceptions and the perceptions and knowledge of participants with summary scores. This would have been helpful rather than, you know, with regards to perception, we asked different questions. But having a scale would have been more helpful in assessing the pre-post changes. However, we couldn't identify any. There was no survey that adduced a summary score to assess the perceptions and knowledge of participants in similar surveys. And in our own study, we did not also construct such scales. So, in conclusion, we find out that among public health and healthcare workers working in a variety of organizations, their awareness, perceptions, as well as knowledge of health and healthcare disparities may be improved through targeted training, albeit on a short-term basis. And future, we need studies to show how well these changes in knowledge and perceptions can be sustained over time. And we also need future research to show how well these changes may translate into provision of equitable public health and healthcare in communities that health workers serve. Thank you very much. Thanks.